Robbie Dryden is walking her golden retriever, Casey, past a large apple orchard in her neighborhood.
The orchard's great because when the apples start coming off the trees, my kids and I walk down here and we just pick apples.
But Dryden doesn't live in the country. In fact, her subdivision is near a major intersection just south of Philadelphia.
We're off the street, so a lot of people don't really even know that we're back here. I tell people where I live that I live in this area, and they're like, where is that? It's where the orchards are, because all the houses are kind of tucked back. So it's private.
Dryden's neighborhood is known as a conservation subdivision. Its design preserves the orchard and its surrounding meadows forever. A land conservation easement protects 70% of the subdivision from ever being developed. And across the country, a few zoning boards have begun to mandate such preservation in new residential developments. One of these is going up just a few miles east of Dryden's neighborhood. The subdivision is called Weatherstone, and out of 300 acres, 180 of them are preserved as open space in the form of small parks, a working farm, and surrounding fields. Weatherstone is being built by the Hankin Group and Vice President Jim Fuller. He says his company preserves open space on all of its projects, whether it's required or not.
It's certainly more challenging to try to get this kind of project approved and more challenging to build it as well, but it's definitely more rewarding.
Fuller says conservation design builds the same number of homes as a traditional subdivision, but instead of spreading the homes out, conservation lots are smaller and closer together. That makes them cheaper to build compared to traditional homes, and that's because the smaller lot sizes mean shorter roads and sewage lines are needed. On top of that, since the houses are surrounded by open space, builders can charge 10 to 20% more for the homes. The downside, Fuller says, is smaller lot sizes can make local planning boards nervous, especially if they're not familiar with the idea. Building houses closer together is known as higher density, and it's associated with cheaper housing.
Density is something that people are afraid of. You know, they think that if the lots are smaller, then the values are lower, it'll change the values of the adjoining houses. I think it's been proven many times over that the opposite is the case.
As a concept, it's fine, but it doesn't work everywhere. That's the problem with it.
That's Isabel Olcott, who serves on the local and county planning boards in her area of Harding, New Jersey. Her board recently rejected a conservation design that would have preserved 91 acres. She says some townships cherish rural character. Township officials think they can better preserve that by restricting developments to large lots.
If they don't want to live in clusters, it doesn't matter how much open space surrounds them. They will always opt for low-density zoning.
But across the country, open space is being marketed as an amenity, and people will pay for it, even in a bad housing market. Sham Cannon is with the real estate research firm Robert Charles Lesser, and he says demand for these types of developments is outpacing supply 2-to-1.
There's a fundamental need for water, for air, for access to open space, and I think that the traditional development paradigm simply doesn't satisfy those desires anymore.
Cannon and others say today's generation of homebuyers don't want a typical suburban neighborhood. Often they want a neighborhood that simulates a rural experience, and they're willing to pay for it. For the Environment Report, I'm Lisa Ann Pinkerton.